How long will we tolerate censorship on America's college campuses? So asks Dr. Alex McFarland, who is a religion and culture expert. He's the director of Christian Worldview and Apologetics at the Christian Worldview Center of North Greenville University. He's a radio talk show host on the American Family Radio Network. He's also the author of 19 books, many of which deal with millennials and the Christian faith. Alex, great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Well, what an honor to be back. Dr. Newcomb, I have such great appreciation and respect for you, so thank you for having me back on.
Okay, now you go to college campuses a lot to speak as a Christian apologist, and what are you finding as far as, you know, receptivity to Christian beliefs?
You know, it depends on the campus, but overwhelmingly in recent years we have seen a hostility toward Christian truth claims. And not just, gee, I disagree with you, I don't believe in that, but no, you don't even have the right to say that. There's been a posture on so many campuses where the Christian worldview is not even allowed to be heard. And I mean, if we look at schools like Berkeley, where, it's interesting, they pride themselves on their liberalism and tolerance and openness. But speakers like Condoleezza Rice or Ann Coulter are barred and not allowed to come. Mm-hmm. And if conservative Christian speakers are slated and the left can't silence them and can't censor, then there'll be, you know, insurrection and vandalism. And so the irony, so many of America's universities have become monoversities. Uni implies a plurality of ideas. But for far too many American campuses, it's not a university, it's a monoversity, the only voice allowed being that of secularism, socialism, progressivism, and really a militant posture against Christianity.
Mm. This is so true. How do we solve this problem? I mean, because let's face it, a person out and trying to go out in the work field is going to have a lot better chances at getting a good job if they have a university education. But the universities today are like what you were just describing. They're not what I remember, 30 years ago, 35 years ago. I'm dating myself, of course, 40 years ago, whatever it was. Your comment.
Well, you know, what the answer is for one thing, for the church to pray. I mean, for those hearing this program that are believers, and not only a Christian, but an American citizen, you love God and country, we need to pray. And we need the Holy Spirit of God to rule and overrule. And I think we need to thank God for our Constitution and our First Amendment rights. But we need to do this too. We need to educate the church. And there's a third point that I want to make. But first, let me just talk about the church, because Jerry, I was on a call not long ago with members of the Barna Research Group, including George Barna himself, who document that at least 74% of church parishioners want their clergy to speak to moral, social, and yes, political issues. But only about 12% of clergy do. And So I've pastored two churches, and I understand the fine diplomatic line that pastors feel like they have to walk sometimes. But let me encourage pastors and clergy, talk about current events, politics, censorship, the culture, all of these things in light of Scripture, because your people are hungry for it. Your people are hungry, but especially students. So the students that go away to school, they need to know their First Amendment rights, and merely because they have stepped on a state-supported college campus does not mean they've lost the right to free speech. But a third thing that I would say that we have to do is we have to make the commitment to be in this for the long haul. Jerry, there was the leader of the Italian Communist Party 100 years ago was a man named Antonio Gramsci. And Gramsci was a Marxist, and he wanted to change the world for communism. And he said, we have to, and he was speaking to his fellow socialist, communist, Marxist, atheists. He said, we have to make, quote, the long walk through the institutions. Now, by that, he meant that they would, in fact, the classroom. They would infect the judiciary, the marketplace, and dare we say even the church. And, you know, they have. Yeah. And those of us that are believers and we love this nation, we're patriotic, we have to be committed to make the long walk through the institutions. We have to bring our families to a biblical worldview and the lordship of Jesus. We have to fill our churches with truth, and not only truth, but a commitment to be a world changer. We have to, the classroom, the judiciary, law, politics, even the arts. I think there are some institutions that we've abdicated our role of being salt and light. We've given them over to the world, and whether Christ comes back very soon or whether the end of time is a long ways off, our job is to occupy, stand strong, and let's have the people of God make the long walk through the institutions.
You know, what's so interesting, though, too, is that you keep hearing about diversity, and in reality, diversity is almost a deceptive term because there's certainly not diversity of opinion.
That's true. That's true. I see this a lot, speaking, debating around the country. And that's why I would plea. I would make a plea with mom and dad. Do not send your son or daughter where 4 years of college will dismantle what you've worked 18 years to instill. Mom and dad, maybe you went to, you know, your legacy school and you've always wanted your son or daughter to go to college where you did. Let me say, there are a number of great Christian universities. I'm a graduate of Liberty. I love Liberty University. And I encourage people to check out Liberty or Grove City or Patrick Henry or, you know, Houston Baptist. I mean, there's some, you know, on the West Coast, I've been very impressed with what I've seen at Biola. But we're living in a day where censorship is rampant. I can virtually guarantee, and I know this is a bold statement, and I don't mean to paint with too broad of a brush, but I think it's accurate, Jerry. If you go to a state-supported school, I can guarantee that your child will hear evolution. All academic disciplines will be reinterpreted through the lens of Darwinism, socialism, radical egalitarianism, that there is no difference between men and women, and you have to learn and you have to acquiesce yourself to intersectionalism, and men and women are different, marriage is bad. I was just at a medical school.
Speak more directly into your phone, if you would. It got bad a moment ago. Yeah, go ahead. That sounds good.
I was just speaking in Middle America at a medical school, and had a student who was en route to being a licensed physician tell me that her life goal was to perform as many abortions as possible, and that she was emancipating slaves in doing abortions because marriage is a form of state-sanctioned slavery, and women are enslaved through pregnancy, and she was liberating captives by performing abortions. And what a twisted, contorted, dark view of life and marriage, not to mention the constitutionality or lack thereof about abortion on demand. My point is this, mom and dad, if you send your son or daughter to a state school, a secular university, they will get the gay agenda. They will get historical revisionism. And they will be groomed to be nice little progressivists who hate America and don't know God. And so, Jerry, I mean, we're talking about not only the future of our country and really the possibility of knowledge. Are we actually learning or are we being indoctrinated? And the highest stakes issue of all, we're talking about the souls of our children and grandchildren. That's why we have to embrace and champion Christian education.
Isn't a lot of this stuff, you know, basically funded by our tax dollars? And since the Constitution says in the First Amendment there should be no establishment of religion, Well, if the religion of secular humanism is essentially being established in the schools, isn't that a violation of, you know, the Establishment Clause, essentially?
Great question. And so many masses of Americans are taught that recognition of God or Christ or the Bible or even recognition of morality, just morals, is a violation of the Establishment Clause. That is what we've been taught to believe, and I would argue that is false, that religion and morality are two different things. When Fisher Ames wrote the First Amendment, he was a Christian, and he wanted the Bible taught in public schools. Fisher Ames said that the Bible is the best vehicle to teach morality to young people. I often ask this question, and by the way, in 200 universities, 55-60% of which were secular universities, and I've asked the question, when somebody throws the First Amendment at me, I'll say, hey, who wrote the First Amendment? Student or professor, I've yet to have anyone in a secular university know who wrote the First Amendment.
Wow.
That they brandish about so freely. And I'll say, you know, Fisher Ames wanted the Bible taught in public schools. The prohibition against the establishment of religion in no way should be construed as an abandonment of all morals. And the question is, and generally you can hear a pin drop when I ask this, how is it that 21st century secularists know more about the application of the First Amendment than the man who wrote the First Amendment? And so part of the reason that we are teetering on societal anarchy, and now, you know, we have the left, that they want here a Ben Carson or a Condoleezza Rice or a Mike Huckabee or somebody who's a conservative, but they will say violence is an accepted form of free speech.
Mm.
Part of the reason is because they've been conditioned to believe if we ever take an objectively clear standard on right versus wrong, we have somehow established a religion and violated the First Amendment, which is inaccurate, completely inaccurate, but has certainly been a tool for the left to advance their agenda.
But aren't there these Christian groups on campus? Thank God for them, like Campus Crusade for Christ, now called CRU, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Navigators.
There are many Christian groups on campus. Sometimes, but you know, here's the thing: they routinely have
okay. Back
to fight.
Back to the phone. Change your phone back. Yeah, good.
Okay, sorry. So there traditionally have been many campus ministries and many Christian organizations exist on campuses to this day. But in recent years, they have had to fight for their life to have Christian leaders for the groups. Many groups have had been forced that they have to be inclusive and have to have non-Christians in leadership roles. And of course, non-Christians are welcome to come hear the gospel. The gospel of Jesus is definitely whosoever will may come. However, when it comes to leadership and speaking and presenting content, definitely no Christian group should be forced to have a Muslim be one of the leaders, one of the speakers. No Christian group that advocates the word of God should be forced, coerced to have a homosexual as one of the leaders. And so many of the Christian groups are demonized, marginalized. I've got stories from students where professors keep tabs on who goes to CRU or who goes to one of the Christian outreaches.
We have 20 seconds left. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and so we don't have home court advantage anymore. And we have to encourage our students and definitely let them know that we've got their back and we're supporting their walk and their witness on America's university campuses.
Excellent. Alex McFarland, Dr. Alex McFarland, his website is Alex McFarland, MCFARLAND.com. Alex, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry.